tension escalates as China gives a warning to the US. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning. China's leader Xi Jinping has made an unusually direct rebuke of the US, blaming it for trying to contain, encircle and suppress his country. He said Washington's actions have brought severe challenges to China. China's foreign minister Qin Gang also warned that if the US did not change course, there was a risk of conflict. Meanwhile, China's trade surplus with the US hit $41 billion at the start of this year. The BBC's Rob Young spoke to Richard McGregor, a senior fellow for East Asia at the Lowy Institute in Sydney, about the latest developments.
The US and China were tentatively sort of trying to begin again some sort of dialogue, but of course that was thrown off course with the appearance of the balloon over the United States and Washington's decision to shoot it down. So we're now in the backwash of that. But it is unusual for Xi himself to so directly criticize the United States. I think Qin Gang, the new foreign minister, this is his first National People's Congress. His comments is it's a bit of sort of old wine in new bottles, but nonetheless very, very pointed on the United States.
So China, by the sound of it, is saying, We aren't creating any of these problems. This is all to do with the United States. But that line about surely there will be conflict, is that largely to do with America's relations with Taiwan, or certainly American politicians' relations with Taiwan?
I think it's mostly about Taiwan. You know, one of the themes in, you know, diplomacy at the moment is efforts to push the US and China into doing exactly that, establish guardrails, some sort of limits on their contestation in many areas. And I think the Chinese are saying, as they have in the past, but more pointedly now, the guardrails doesn't include any concessions or any restraint from us on Taiwan. That's absolutely a fundamental core interest. So they're saying if the US continues to press on this, there's going to be trouble. Now, whether that is what happens, of course, we don't know. But I think that's the point they're trying to make.
And yet we have these comments, the rhetoric coming from not just from Beijing, but also from politicians in the United States as well. Yet today we had trade data, which just shows how interconnected the world's two biggest economies remain and how, rather than containing China's economic rise, U.S. businesses and consumers are helping it along.
Well, that is the very interesting thing, because we've had a lot of talk about decoupling, and you can have decoupling in a limited number of areas.
This is essentially a fragmentation of the globalization that we've had for the last 30, 40
years. That's right, or as they call it these days, slobalization instead of globalization. But so I think, you know, decoupling is just about impossible. Both sides have tried to diversify, and frankly, both sides have failed. And we've seen that in a number of countries. You know, that China, the US has various sanctions on semiconductors and the like. So some trade is limited. There is decoupling in a limited number of areas, but the two countries are still remarkably intertwined economically. And that applies, by the way, to many countries in China. It's the world's biggest trading power, country power. And therefore, it's very difficult to decouple from China. Vice versa, China can't decouple either.
Richard McGregor there. Now, let's see the numbers. Global stocks edging a bit higher this morning as investors wait for what Fed Chair Jerome Powell says later today. And revenues of the world's largest toy maker, Danish company Lego, are up 17% to $9.3 billion. French unions are striking today for the sixth time this year over plans to raise the state pension age from 62 to 64. More than a million people are expected to join demonstrations across France. Fuel depots have already been blocked. The BBC's Hugh Schofield in Paris.
With the government showing no sign of backing down on its pension plan, the talk is of escalation. And in the days ahead, there'll be calls to extend the strikes in key sectors like power generation and gas terminals. So far, for all the noise and sporadic disruption, the campaign has caused little damage to the economy. And in the meantime, the bill is proceeding through Parliament.
That was Hugh Schofield in Paris. The UK government is introducing new legislation today to stop migrants crossing the English Channel in small boats. More than 45,000 made the journey last year. It's expected to put a legal duty on ministers to remove anyone entering the UK illegally. The Prime Minister Rishi Sunak says the measures are necessary to solve the migrant crisis and are fair for those at home and those who have a legitimate claim to asylum. Refugee charities have called the plans unworkable. Frey Lindsay, who reports on migration for the BBC World Service, is with me now. Hi, Frey.
Hi, Leanna. How are you going?
Good. Where are these people coming from, Frey?
So the nationalities of people who are arriving in the UK via small boats is quite a mix. But the main nationalities in 2022, when we have the latest statistics, are Albanians, Afghans, Iranians, Iraqis and Syrians. Now, Afghans are an interesting example, actually, because although a bespoke resettlement humanitarian protection route exists for Afghans to come to the UK, delays and problems with processing that legal route have seen Afghans actually overtake Albanians as the most common nationality of people crossing the channel.
And why are people crossing? Are they fleeing conflict or are they doing it for personal economic reasons?
Often there's a distinction made between fleeing conflict or sort of economic reasons for migrating. And certainly in reality, there's a big grey area between the two. Conflict and poverty and destitution very often go hand in hand. And often regions that have seen conflict in previous decades will have very severe destitution. For instance, I was recently on a migrant boat in the Mediterranean, a different crossing of water that people often take. And this young Cameroonian man described to me how he had to flee both the conflict in his region in southwest Cameroon, but also the poverty that he experienced because of it. He was so desperate to get out, in fact, that as you'll hear, he tried to cross the Mediterranean multiple times before he finally managed to make it to Europe.
So I left Cameroon because of the crisis that we have in the southwest region of Cameroon. The violence that was there, that led to the destruction of things, property, everything. Yeah, so I did not have where to stay because of insecurity. First time they caught me, I went to prison. I spent 2 months, difficulties. After I came out, the second time I make an attempt, they still caught me the second time. Because the third time that I tried, the engine failed us on water. So this is the fourth time now I'm trying. Yeah, this is the fourth time that I'm trying.
And what's the government proposing?
What we understand in it is that this bill will effectively give the Home Secretary a duty to effectively expel or deport anyone who arrives by crossing the channel as soon as is reasonably possible. There's also a suggestion that they will then be barred from ever returning to the UK. We don't have all the details, and there's still very large legal questions about whether such a plan would be even workable. Certainly there will be many legal challenges, we expect, as soon as the plans are announced. And later in the day, we're going to be hearing the full details of this plan, which is expected to dominate UK headlines for a long time coming.
And we'll be watching out for that. The BBC's Frey Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
And finally, a bit of cheese news. You can now use the name Gruyère to label cheeses from outside of the Swiss region and France. A court in Virginia upheld a ruling stating that the US does not have the same strict rules as Europe on the designation of origin for foods. And this includes cheese from the US, Netherlands, Germany or Austria. That's it from the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne and thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.